Welcome to A Good Word for Today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. And in just a moment, we're going to turn in God's Word to His good word for us today. We'll be starting in 1 Timothy chapter 3 today. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So turn with me there. Get your Bible out. Be prepared. And we're going to study that together today for the next half hour or so. Before we do that, let's go to our gracious Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunities that it brings to be your vessel through which you work, through which you perform your work for your glory. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that you have adopted us into your family, made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All of those who have trusted in your Son and been born into your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that we're both born into your kingdom and also adopted, chosen by you, and made joint heirs with Jesus in your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for the home that awaits us. Thank you for your word that you've given us to lead us and guide us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that is our comforter, our teacher, our guide, and yes, the one who convicts us of our sin and of our need to come to you in confession. Thank you, Father, that your word promises that if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, today we just give you glory and honor and praise as we open the word which you have given us today. I pray that the words I speak will not be just my own words, but may they be your words, Father, your words, Holy Spirit. May we all hear and obey the word that we hear today. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it. And we ask it for your glory, Father. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles ready, 2 Timothy it is. Turn with me to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And we're going to be continuing today in our series of messages concerning the challenges facing the church today. Oh, my friend, there are great challenges facing the church today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, in this series, already talked about the churches of Laodicea and the church at Ephesus, those two churches. The church at Ephesus being the first of the seven churches that Jesus speaks to in Revelation, and, of course, the church of Laodicea being the seventh church that Jesus speaks to there in chapter 3 of Revelation. Today, we might be talking a little bit about the church at Pergamum and even also the church at Thyatira. Both were criticized by Jesus there in chapter 2 of Revelation. He said of the church of Pergamum, "You hold to a false teaching." And to the church at Thyatira, he said, "You tolerate that Jezebel." You tolerate sin in the church, in other words. You tolerate that spirit of Jezebel. That's what he was speaking of, not only the persons, but that spirit of Jezebel. Now, the spirit of Jezebel is a spirit of evil, the spirit of untruth, the spirit of distortion, the spirit of envy and strife and jealousy. The spirit that comes, as James said, that is natural, demonic, and earthly. Now, he described these in this way. In James, he said, that which comes from the earth is earthly or earthy, he said, natural and demonic. And he was talking about envy and strife and jealousy. But he went ahead to say that that which comes from above is pure. And it is of God himself. It is pure, it is peaceable, It brings about harmony. The perfect bond of love that brings about unity within the body of Christ is love itself. So to Pergamum and to Thyatira, Jesus criticized them. Pergamum holding to a false teaching, and Thyatira, that you tolerate that Jezebel, or the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of evil. Now, I present to you today that one of the great challenges facing the church is that we hold to false doctrines, that we tolerate the spirit of evil within our church, that we tolerate false teachers within our church. Now, this is something, of course, that we need to be careful not to do. We need to be careful to be proclaiming the truth and proclaiming the Word of God in its pure and accurate form. Now, before we can do that, we must individually, ourselves, we must know the truth, we must understand the truth, and I'm talking about the very basic doctrines of the Bible. We must know them, we must understand them, and we must then proclaim them. Now, today we're looking at 2 Timothy. Timothy, of course, was considered the spiritual son of Paul. He referred to him as my son in the gospel. He was a young man, of course, that Paul kind of tutored. Paul was the mentor of Timothy. Timothy, by the way, was a great preacher, a great pastor, and of course pastored the church at Ephesus for a considerable time, even after the death of the Apostle Paul. But in instruction to Timothy, we find some good instruction for us today. Now, let me caution you here. One of the mistakes that we can make in looking at the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy is to make the mistake that this was something, to say this, that this was a letter, or letters, two letters, that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. So, this is instruction primarily to Timothy. Well, yes, it is, and it is also, beyond that, good instruction for all of us. You see, each one of us has the responsibility to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility to be clear in our witness, to be accurate in our witness, to be forceful in our witness. We have the responsibility to be good witnesses in proclaiming the gospel message. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "You shall go into all the world, and you shall make disciples of all men." Now, what's disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. That's what he commanded us to do. He went ahead to say, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Well, before we can teach others to observe all that Jesus commanded, and all that's in the Gospels, and all that's in the New Testament teachings, we must first know them ourselves. Now, let's begin in 2 Timothy, and actually we're going to begin with chapter 4, first of all. We'll cover some material in chapter 3 as well. Paul is speaking to Timothy, but let this be a message to you too. If you're a child of God, you are a Timothy also. You may say, well, I'm not preaching, I'm not pastoring. Well, you are a witness. You are to be a witness. All of us are to be witnesses for Jesus and of Jesus. And we have the same responsibility in that respect, to be witnesses, proclaiming, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So hear this as it applies to you. Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they, that is, mankind, will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, Paul is saying to Timothy and to you and me today that we ourselves are responsible to minister the Word of God. We're responsible to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we may not be required to preach if I'm not a preacher, but I'm required to share the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to teach the gospel, to teach the New Testament covenant, to teach the truths of the Bible itself. Paul says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead. I charge you to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season. In other words, to be ready all the time, to be ready always, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, before we can instruct someone else, we must first know our material and know it very well. We must know the teachings of God's Word. We must know the teachings of the Bible itself. Now, we are to understand the truth then that's in 2 Timothy here, chapter 3, and it's just before the material that I read you in chapter 4. Actually, it's the last two verses of chapter 3, and they read this way, All Scripture is inspired of God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, adequately equipped for every good work. And then we go on to these verses in chapter 4, where he says, I solemnly charge you to proclaim the gospel message. My friend, this is not only to Timothy. It's not only to a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist. It is to each one of us as a child of God. We need to know that the Scripture is inspired of God. It is profitable to us for our life. It is profitable for us to use in proclaiming to others. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, we're told, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. That applies to each one of us, my friend. You may say, well, it applies more so to a preacher, only in that he is preaching. It applies to each one of us in that each one of us has the responsibility to proclaim accurately the Word of God. We are to rightly divide the Word of God, of course. And we are to be sure that we are proclaiming it correctly. If we look back at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read these words, Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of truth. Handling accurately, or rightly dividing, the King James says. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. In other words, know it, understand it, be true to the Scriptures, rightly divide it. Now, with this Scripture behind us, and with this having been said, let me simply state that I believe one of the great, great needs in the church today is, number one, to know the truth of God's Word. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about knowing the teachings of your denomination. I get a little bit weary of denominational teaching that is so dogmatic and so skewed and not necessarily squaring with the Bible, with God's Word. Now, there seems to be a little bit of material in every denomination that has taken a scripture and taken it to some extreme in some direction. And getting beyond or outside of the actual wording of the Bible itself. Listen to me, my friend. Read the Word of God. Read it daily. Sit down with the Word of God, open the Word of God, and say something like this: God, lead me as I read this Word which you gave to us. I believe that this is your Word. It is accurate. It is inspired. It is true in every respect. Help me to understand it, Holy Spirit. Help me to rightly divide the Word of God. Help me to rightly understand it and interpret it, that I may be able to share it accurately, that I may be able to proclaim it truthfully. Now, we need to read the Word. We don't need to read books that are written by some person that is long since dead to get our biblical understanding. Now, if you want to read those books to get an understanding of the history of your denomination or something to know more about the life of that individual, then read those books. And I'm not saying don't read those books at all. I am saying don't read them and depend solely upon them for your understanding of the scriptural truth of God's Word. That should come from His Word. And it's the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, not some famous theologian of the past or of today. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's Word in your heart and in your life. We need to check every bit of teaching as the Bereans did. Remember what they did? They searched the Scriptures daily to be sure that this was true or untrue. They verified it by the Scripture, my friend. Now, we can have our own opinions. We can have our own ideas. We can have our own points of view. But listen, my friend, that point of view must square with the Scripture of God in order to be accurate, in order to be faithful to God's Scripture. If it is not in accordance with the popular ideas of today, we need to still hold to Scripture. If it is contrary to what someone else is teaching us, we need to still hold to Scripture. If it is even contrary to what you or I have as an opinion, we need to take God's Word as the fact, as the truth, and we need to discard our opinion and bring our opinion into line with God's Word. Now, that is critical today, my friend. You see, the church is sounding an uncertain, unclear trumpet today. Well, maybe this is right and maybe it isn't. Maybe all Scripture is inspired and maybe some of it isn't. Maybe some of it's right for us today, but maybe some of it isn't right for the time in which we live, the culture in which we live. Maybe, for example, calling homosexuality a sin is something we really shouldn't do today. Hogwash. The Bible calls homosexuality a sin. And that's what we need to call it if we're going to be true to the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear on many, many other aspects, many of which we are confusing today. And we're confusing them because we're being bent by society. We're being bent by the culture in which we live. We're being bent in some instances by false prophets and false teachers. And we need to read 1 John chapter 1 or chapter 4, for example. 1 John chapter 4 will give us the basis we need to detect a false teacher. A false teacher is one who proclaims something other than the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we start. That's where we begin. The true gospel is this, my friend. The gospel message is, first of all, that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven. As a little baby, he was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. He lived a perfect life upon this earth. He ministered for some 3 to 3.5 years. He proclaimed the message of God, the kingdom of God. He proclaimed the word of God. He said, "What I say is not my own, but it's from the Father. What I do is not my own, but it's from the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus went to the cross. There upon the cross, he was the perfect Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. There on the cross, he paid sin's debt by shedding his blood and giving his life and paying for the sin of all mankind for all time. He paid for all sin for all mankind for all time upon the cross. His body was taken down, placed in that tomb, and on the third day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, he was resurrected to new life. And he lives today in spirit by the Father's right hand, and he lives today in you and me as a child of God. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is returning to this earth. He will someday rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the gospel message, my friend. Jesus is the Son of God. He wasn't just a good man. He was more than that. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. My friend, that's the basis of all that we say and do. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we are to proclaim. Now you may say, like Pilate did, "Well, what is truth?" You know, in college I took several courses in philosophy, and it kind of always amazed me because all philosophers are searching for the truth. That's the aim of any philosopher. That was the aim of Plato and Socrates and Aristotle and Locke and all of the other philosophers down through the ages. Searching for truth. What is truth? That was their question, along with Pilate. You remember that was the question that he asked of Jesus. What is truth? Well, Jesus told us what truth really is. And we need to get it right. We need to get it correct. In John chapter 14, verse 16, or verse 6, rather, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is truth, my friend. Now watch your language. Watch how you say it. Truth is not just in Jesus. We don't just get truth from Jesus. Jesus is truth. If we want to find truth, then we find Jesus. Because Jesus is truth, you see. He said, "I am the way, not a way." He said, "I am the truth, not a truth." And he said, "I am the life, not a life." In other words, this is it. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. There is no truth, listen to me, there is no truth apart from Jesus. There is no truth apart from Jesus. Jesus is truth, and Jesus is constant. Jesus is absolute. Jesus is unchanging. There is absolute truth, and it is Jesus Christ. That is the foundation for what we believe. That is the foundation of the gospel. That is the foundation of our church. That is the foundation of who we are, and what we teach, and what we proclaim. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, the truth that is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. So when we're proclaiming Jesus, we're proclaiming truth, you see. Now, notice the difference. We don't tell things about Jesus. We tell Jesus. We give Jesus. We proclaim Jesus, because Jesus is the truth, you see. So all that we are and all that we teach is based upon Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, "If any man preach to you another gospel, which is different than what I have preached to you, let him be accursed." There is only one gospel message, my friend, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one truth, and that is Jesus, my friend. Oh, we need to hear that. That is God's word. That is His testament. And we need to build everything, our life and the totality of our life, our church and what we are and what we proclaim, upon the truth that is Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, we need to know that. We need to study Jesus. We need to know Jesus. You remember one of our preceding messages in this series was concerning the attitude of the Apostle Paul, where he counted all things as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus. Remember that we said there that our goal of life is to know Him, as the Apostle Paul said. He said, "I count all things as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus, not that I've already attained it." Even the Apostle Paul could say, "I'm not there yet. I'm still on my journey. I press on to know Him." To know Him, the author, the finisher of my faith, of our faith. That's my goal. That's my purpose. That's my focus, to know Him. So we know Jesus and we proclaim Him as individuals, as true witnesses, and we proclaim Him as the church. We need to examine our denominational doctrine. Where it squares with the Bible, where it squares with the teaching of the New Testament, it's fine. But where it does not, where it departs, if and when and where it departs in any way from the teaching of the New Testament, then we must discard the denominational doctrine in favor for biblical doctrine. In our own Southern Baptist Convention, for example, today, there's a great battle going on over the inerrancy of the Scriptures. Well, I happen to belong in that group that holds to the inerrancy of Scriptures. We must, my friend. If it is not true, if one part of it isn't true, then how can we trust any of it, my friend? If the Bible says it, I'm to believe it. You've perhaps heard the statement, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Well, you can shorten that statement. God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. God said it, that settles it, my friend. Hopefully we do believe it. We need to believe it in order to proclaim the gospel message. This is one of the great challenges facing us today in the church, facing us as individuals, facing us as individual church members, but also facing us as a church, to know the truth, to know Jesus Christ, and to proclaim the truth accurately, accurately understanding, accurately interpreting the Scripture for ourselves and for others. This is God's good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is God's good word for us today from His holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.